This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
Well, hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, episode 227, part 2, or episode 227B. I'm here with Mike and Jamal once again, and we already talked about the game that was Oklahoma, the depression of UCLA's season. What do you call it?
Season
0.2. It's a, season 0.2. I love that. And now we're going to get on with the game that will be and all that stuff. But first, of course, with What's Brewing Show, you can get us on Twitter at What's Brewing Show, the Mike at the Big Disco.
Yo.
Me, I'm at WBJake68. Jamal is at KingsPapa1015. Support the show on patreon.com/What's Brewing Show for just $2 a month. And of course, call the What's Brewing Hotline. We've been getting some excellent calls so far this season. 805-399-4WBS.
Suck it, Reign of Troy.
And happy birthday. But suck it, Reign of Troy. Guys suck. I hate you guys. Whatever. I love you guys. Can't wait to be on your show again.
I'm so pissed at USC right now because they didn't beat BYU. Hashtag extend Helton.
I know. You know, it's funny because they were going to like run straight into a wall, you know, coming up this next couple weeks because Utah, Washington, Notre Dame. You didn't think they were going to get through that unscathed. But that, yeah, them losing to BYU kind of killed a little bit of the margin of error. But, I mean, the most important game of this series is that Utah game. You know, the Washington game they can lose. If they beat Utah, they have the inside track to win the Pac-12.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you say. If SC, not that I'm hoping for that, but if they win the Pac-12, then there's a chance that they retain Helton. But, I mean, look, I mean, how freaking lame of that is us, right? We have our own problems.
Yeah.
We're 0-3 two consecutive years in a row.
Oh, dear Lord.
I really don't care what happens over there right now.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that, you know, I mean, you know, when the SC game rolls around, you know, of course we're going to have a stake in that. But it's really, really like LA college football.
Oh, I have a shield around me for USC nonsense. People are trying to send it to me. I'm like, don't care. I have my own problems. Yeah.
But anyways, you know, we have our drinks now, you know, and more drinks now. And let's talk about the depressing notion of the doomsday clock striking 4 and UCLA up on the Palouse with some game that will be.
It's the game that will be. It's the game that will be, yo. It's the game that will be.
You know, and just because we're not going to use this at all tonight, I think, because we're not really going to be talking about future Bruin opponents, maybe a little bit, but I just like playing this because it applies to Eye on the Enemy.
The Enemy.
UCLA.
Everyone's doing better than UCLA, so there's the Eye on the Enemy.
At Washington State. It's going to be on ESPN. 7:30 at night. I will be somewhere in wine country picking up some wine for, you know, for the lovely Sarah. We'll probably be watching this from Chumash Casino or something. Jamal?
Pac-12 after dark.
Explain to me how in back-to-back weeks the Bruins are double-digit underdogs, almost 20-point underdogs back-to-back weeks. Right now it stands at like 19. Plus 19.
Because of their defense and they're facing another potent offense.
Oh, my God. It's so... And by the way...
I mean, if they were opening up against Cal, they would not be down by 14. They would not be double-digit
underdogs. Yeah, nobody would think that both those teams could combine for 20 points.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah. By the way, the Washington State offense kind of fits right into what UCLA's defense is. You know, so there you go. Before we get on with the game that will be, I mean, we might as well get to the Jake's trivia too, I guess, right?
Now it's time for Jake's Trivia, brought to you by Jake, bringing you all the coolest trivia of UCLA football's opponent for this coming week. And now, Jake.
Short and sweet. Paul Wolf. Wolf. Wolf.
Wow.
Wolf.
Haven't heard that name in forever.
The coach prior to Mike Leach.
Mike Leach, yeah.
The reason why Mike Leach is there. And Mike Leach was able to go on to, you know, even though he had, what you said, 3 wins, 6 wins, 3 wins or something?
Yeah.
Well, the reason he had so much leeway is because everybody was real sick of Paul Wolf, I guess. What was his record by the time he was done with his career at Washington State? Anybody know?
God. 4 in 1,000?
9 and 40-something?
Look at Jamal. Oh, you're just sandbagging son of a bitch. 9-40 would be the correct answer. Good job, Jamal.
I was going to say 11 wins.
Wow, Jamal, you're so right on the.
I pulled that right out of my brain.
Right on the pulse. Oh my God, Jamal. Now, one more question for you. The Palouse, where Washington State is located.
Uh-huh.
There's actually two universities up on the Palouse. Does anybody know the other university?
Gonzaga?
No.
Eastern Washington?
No. University of Idaho in Moscow. The other institution up on the Palouse.
University of Idaho at Moscow.
Uh-huh.
Actually, Moscow.
Moscow.
Because they want to distance themselves from those commies.
Yeah, whatever.
Is actually in Washington?
The region is home to two land-grant universities, the University of Idaho and Moscow, and Washington State, the Palouse, right? So the Palouse is, of course, a region of northwestern United States encompassing parts of southeastern Washington, north-central Idaho, and in some definitions, part of northeast Oregon. Those two land-grant universities. So there's your Jake's Trivia. I guess we should just get on with the show. This matchup and... Let me pull my papers previewing this thing. Per ESPN, the matchup predictor, Washington State has a 82% chance of winning, plus 82% plus chance of winning.
Too low.
As of right now, you know, the spread on this is 18.5. I was 19 when I checked earlier. Over under a 57. I think they think that Washington State's going to score 50 points. Let's be fair.
48 to 14.
No. 43 points because, of course, UCLA will score the requisite 14 points. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Very, very good, Jamal. Matchups in this. Let's just take the quarterback matchup. Anthony Gordon, Washington State. 96 for 122 so far in the season. Over 1,300 yards. 12 TDs. Mm-hmm. Two interceptions. His counterpart, DTR, 47 for 87. 556 yards. 5 TDs, 4 interceptions. A little bit of a mismatch there. UCLA's leading rusher, Demetri Felton. Who would have guessed that? You had told me at the beginning of the year that Demetri Felton would be the Bruins' leading rusher after three games. I might have predicted 0-3 doomsday
clock. Not by
clock.
Much, though. I think Cali's averaging 53 yards.
Yeah, that's great, Mike.
And 2 yards.
That's great, Mike.
Silver linings, damn it.
Who's the fucking leading rusher on the UCLA Bruins right now? Is it Demetri Felton?
Felton, yeah.
I'm impinging or impugning his name, because he's one of the Bruins that I think has actually played pretty damn well.
A bright spot for filling in, yeah.
But the fact that you're...
All-around player, actually.
But the fact that after three...
Wow, the veins in your neck are goddamn coming out.
Games,
this is crazy.
Three goddamn games, the leading rusher for the UCLA Bruins has 38 carries and 164 goddamn yards.
You know what's worse?
Are you kidding me?
Felton is averaging 54.7 yards per game, which is lower than Max Borgi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You tell me.
Who?
How much does Borgi have?
He's averaging 67.3 yards per game. Which, and to go deeper.
Oh, go deeper, Mike.
UCLA is averaging.
Be naughty.
UCLA is averaging 78 rushing yards. Their rush offense is averaging 78 yards per game. Washington State, who doesn't run that much, is averaging 91. So,
Yeah, Mike. You know why? Because Washington State averages over 5 yards a carry.
Uh-huh.
And UCLA, as we've noted previously,
2.23. All right.
18 rushes per game for 5 yards a carry. By the way, that puts Washington State, in the top third for, like, yards per carry.
Yeah.
UCLA, not so much.
I mean, my point is that's pretty sad considering that Washington State is a passing team.
Yes.
They have the top passing offense in the nation. They're putting up, where is it, 476 yards per game.
Yeah,
and yet their rushing game is still better than UCLA's.
And don't forget a Pac-12 leading 194 plus rating, a Pac-12 leading 46 attempts per game, a Pac-12 leading 10.3. Oh, I'm sorry, not number two in the Pac-12 behind Utah yards per attempt. And oh, by the way, you know what matches up really nice, guys?
What?
It's all just like a butterfly in its symmetry. Really, it is.
We've gone haiku.
Washington State's 10.3 yards per attempt on offense,
uh-huh.
and We talked about this last show, but what, Jamal, you have it in front of you, I think. UCLA's yards per pass attempt on defense.
10.5.
Oh, my God. It couldn't be more perfect.
Nice.
Washington State averages a first down per pass attempt. UCLA gives up a first down per pass attempt. What could go wrong?
Oh, what's even worse is that I was thinking about this yesterday when looking at the stats.
Yeah.
UCLA's strength is their run defense up the middle. Yeah, I mean, doubt
strength is strength is relative.
Relative,
but
yes.
But yes.
I doubt Washington State is going to do that. Just like Oklahoma, they're going to meticulously study UCLA's defense, and I can guarantee you right now we're going to see it, very similar plays to what Oklahoma did, finding the receivers in the gaps of the zone defense and just collecting an insane amount of yards after catch.
And let me well, okay, well, the yards per catch thing, I absolutely think you might be completely right on that, right? Let me beg to differ a little bit on the Washington State strategy versus the Oklahoma strategy, in that Washington State, I think very much so, when they do run the ball, it might come right up the middle, because it's probably going to come as a result of quarterback draw, or not quarterback draw, but draws off of the passing action, right? Kind of a change of pace type of thing. And if the Bruins come into this game focusing on stopping the run like they did against San Diego State and Cincinnati, right, then they really are truly the dumbest coaching staff in the history of college football, right? Because yeah. Why would you do that against Washington State, who doesn't run the ball? So there's probably going to be some adjustments in how the Bruins play defense against Washington State, because they are so one-dimensional.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, that interior, even though hopefully, you know, Moffey's healthy and plays and the other guys are healthy and play, that's definitely going to be more open than it has been, right? But as far as Washington State having these the same number of wide open players as Oklahoma, that may be the case, but I think that just the style of Washington State's throwing the ball around is a little bit different than Oklahoma's. They're not quite going to have the same level of athlete as Oklahoma, but their precision is right there with them. And yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Mike. You know, when they catch the ball, it's going to be very important if the Bruins are going to have any sort of showing in this, that they are able to make some freaking tackles.
Yeah. Honestly, I would be happy if UCLA ran a 1-1-9 defense. That would be great. I would love that.
For good. Double dime. Exactly. A double dime.
That would put everybody in the secondary.
That's like something like Clanny Pendergast would come up with.
I mean,
I think
what we're saying is it's the scheme that's going to kill him this time, and maybe not the talent so much. But at the same time, I just have a feeling that we're going to see the same kind of breakdowns. Because
missed assignments?
Missed assignments. I mean, because that's what they've been doing all year. I don't think it's mattered what kind of talent the teams have had, what kind of schemes they've had. It's a lot of it has been UCLA shooting themselves in their foot.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Another thing that's a difference between, you know, what we saw versus Oklahoma versus what we saw versus Washington State is they're passing Washington State a little bit less of the super giant big plays, but they're just killing you over and over again. That's why they average such a they're averaging 10 yards per pass attempt. But a lot of it is, you know, 10 to 20 yard passes. For example, Oklahoma had, I think, like 18 or so 20-yard passes, but then 13 30-yard passes and 7 40-yard passes. Washington State, you know, most of their damage is done within that 20 to 30-yard range. Still big chunk plays, but not quite as explosive as Oklahoma, which I think is understandable. But bottom line, I mean, they're probably going to eviscerate UCLA just like Oklahoma did. You know, we'll have to see.
It might just be death by a thousand cuts, basically.
It might take them a little bit longer. Yeah. I think that's very, very fair. I don't know. I mean, is there really any sort of, you know, what are some bright spots possibly for this game? If KLS does come back, that could be a little bit of a hope, right? I mean, you know, it'd be good to see KLS back out there. I mean, do we have any...
KLS.
If nothing, just please somebody be able to disrupt the opposing offense or the quarterback. Yeah. Just something. I mean, some of the things that we saw this past week, you know, the reason the guys are so wide open sometimes, it wasn't always just broken assignments. Just, A, they couldn't get to Jalen Hurts, He sometimes uses feet to his advantage and obviously created mismatches that way. But at the same time, you know, just like the week before, Agnew, the quarterback for San Diego State, was so accurate because they really weren't ever pressuring him. And so please, if KLS is there in my magic band, at least get to the quarterback.
Here's something I thought about this week. A year ago, after all the suspensions were served and Boss Aguiloa came back to help out, to anchor the offensive line, that's when we started to see marked progress with the offense and the offensive line. Do you think that KLS, one individual, will he have that same impact as Boss Aguiloa?
No, I don't. But I think he can make some impact. Mm-hmm. Having another guy that, you know, that it's not like KLS was a super dominant pass rusher before. You know,
he was just very, very reliable.
Jalen Phillips was as close to that as they had before, you know, and like I said, he's, you know, in a G-string in Miami now. So, I mean, you know, and even him, you know, he wasn't even on the field enough to be that super consistent guy either, you know. So, you know, it's one of those things where I don't know if they have it in them as currently constructed, but at the same time, what they've been doing isn't working, you know.
Yeah, no kidding.
It isn't working. And so even though I'm always more of a fan of playing a more conservative defense and kind of keeping everything in front of you, and, you know, just, I mean, I grew up watching the NFL, and that's just kind of ingrained into me more or less. And I think to anybody, I don't know, that's just what I normally like to watch football. And, you know, we've argued over the years about blitzing and not blitzing or whatever. And it's like every time you're blitzing, you are, for the most part, you know, there are ways to blitz where you're not giving that much up, but when you're blitzing, you generally are giving something up. But with this Bruin defense, they haven't been able to get consistent pressure with four or five, and they can't cover.
Four, five, seven.
So you might as well just send everybody to me and hopefully you can disrupt something, make a big plays, get enough negative plays, cause some turnovers. That's the other thing, too. This Bruin team hasn't been able to cause any turnovers either. They have a turnover that got called back in Cincinnati that might have put him back in the game. But otherwise, you know, they have one of the worst turnover differentials in the country as well, -2 per game. You know, so at this point, what the hell do they have to lose? You know, on offense, you hope they get a little bit better. But on defense, I mean, it's not like anything else is working. So yeah. I'm almost on board with, the Mike and Bill strategy of success, which is kind of the Todd Graham strategy of success, which is just have everybody go rush the quarterback and hope it works out all right.
I still like.
By the way, that could be a recipe for disaster against an air raid team. I'm just saying.
But oh yeah,
well, maybe, for sure. Because then you maybe find hit the holes, hard. And again, it's death by a thousand cuts.
Yeah. So I mean, God help us.
Oh dear.
So our predictions.
I guess. Go ahead, Jamal.
Well, last week I said 49-3 for Oklahoma, and I was off. Because UCLA was able to score a couple times. So this time I'll say 49-10.
49-10.
Wow.
That's...
They're on the road, guys. They're on the road.
That's pretty good. That's pretty solid. Mikey, why don't you go next?
I'm going to go... I think UCLA breaks their cycle, and they're going to score more than 14. I'm going to go... But they're not going to win. Washington State, 41-21.
You said 41-21?
Yep.
Okay. And Mike, we were just talking about it a little while ago. Last year, Keyshawn Lucier-South played the whole season, I want to say 13 games.
Yeah.
He ended up with 4 sacks. So you see what I'm getting at? It's not like...
Yeah, no, he wasn't potent. He was just very reliable. I mean...
He's a good player, but I don't think that him manufacturing pass rush, he's not going to make that big a difference in that aspect. He certainly is going to add to the defense, just like you hope that Darnay Holmes is a little bit better, and he adds to the defense, right?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, exactly.
But he's not a one-man pass rush.
He was not what you would define as a pass rusher, but the fact that he was the best pass rusher for UCLA, there you go. That says something.
Yeah, it says they fucking sucked at rushing the passer when your leading guy was at 4.
Everybody knows that, exactly.
Was at 4.
Exactly.
The year before, Jacob Tuatu Mariner, I can't say that name, but he was at, like
Tuatu Mariner,
yeah,
damn
7.5. The year before, Tack McKinley, last time we actually had a real pass rusher, 10. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
I miss you, Tack.
Me too. And even then with the 10, then they also had another guy in the top 20, good old Kenny Young, had 5 on his own, right?
So. Yeah. So what's your prediction?
Oh, my God.
Just say it. Just say it, Jake. You're so depressed right now.
I am. I'm not, you know, hopefully I'll be watching this from some sort of restaurant or something with a drink in my hand, but let's say I ever the optimist. Bruins cover 38 to 15. The Bruins get past the 14 point hurdle.
They're going to get
15 points.
You're taking the prices right angle on this. Huh?
I'm just saying, I want the quest for 15. That's what this game should be about. The quest for 15. If the Bruins score more than 14 points, we should all do fucking cartwheels, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The quest for 15.
Yeah.
That's this game.
Yeah.
And by the way, what's their record in the conference right now?
The UCLA's record in the
conference?
Yeah. 0-0.
I forgot to say this, but I mean, really, I mean, you know, this is the start of a new era. Once again, you know, UCLA season 0.2. You know,
we the optimists.
With tomorrow's triumph, a new era begins.
Hey, the Bruins don't have a loss in conference yet, man. They could still win the conference. They could still come storming back, go 9-0, and go to back to the title game, and it could all be better. Is that going to happen?
No,
it's not.
German for no.
But as of right now, hope springs eternal. And, you know, if they somehow put it together and make a game of this or beat Wazoo, then, you know, if they were to beat Wazoo, they're not going to. But if they were, like, how irreparable is this whole Chip Kelly thing at this point? What do you guys think?
Oh, no. If they beat Wazoo, then everyone's optimistic.
You think again. So? Like, everybody does a 180?
No.
But you have to. But there's gonna people. You have to be optimistic if they beat Wazoo.
Even if they beat Wazoo by 1 point, that's going to.
I'll tell you this right
turn
now.
Turn a lot of heads.
If they, look, this is merely
turn a lot of
turn a lot of. So yeah. this is merely a thought experiment.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
It's a thought experiment because it's not going to happen. But if they did beat Wazoo, then you know. That would be something where we'd have to really kind of, at that point, you know.
We'd have to examine exactly how they did it because Wazoo's going to pass. And if UCLA can stop that, that is going to lift a lot of eyebrows and have a lot of UCLA fans going, oh, okay, so we can stop the pass or at least slow it down enough to where we will allow our offense to score more than this high-powered, you know,
or the Bruin offense showed signs of life or something. I mean,
yes, yeah, yes. Yeah.
I mean, but you know, once again, I don't know why we're even contemplating it because it's not going to happen. But there we go. I mean,
yeah,
there we are. All right. Okay. Well, last thing I really want to talk about before we get to what's Bruin with you is kind of just continuing the discussion we had last week after starting 0-2, and now we're at 0-3, and the doomsday clock has struck three times again. And that is this, like we asked this last week, is this the low point for UCLA football? Huh? Because think about it. They're 0-5 last year, 0-3 this year. God knows how many O's they're going to get to, you know, by the end of this current losing streak. Five straight losses to Group of Five teams. That's great. Four straight losses for Kelly's teams, you know, obviously. First loss to San Diego State University in the history of the program. 0-2 to Cincinnati over 2 years. Blowouts to Oklahoma 2 years in a row. Amazingly demoralizing moments like getting stuffed on 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1 and 4th-and-1 to the fucking San Diego State Aztecs. Oklahoma game where UCLA gave out four free tickets to every season ticket holder,
yeah.
And they still managed to fill the stadium up about 60%, and 60% of those 60% were in red of Oklahoma. Unranked since 2017, as we mentioned earlier, in a world, by the way, where freaking California, ASU, and Washington State are all ranked teams in the Pac-12, along with some other teams, and then booing and heckling, as I reported a couple weeks ago, at the players when they're walking out of the tunnel and all that stuff. All of this stuff. I mean, have we reached the low point?
Oh, let me depress you a little bit more, Jake. This is a stat that was brought up on Bro, and I put in my weekly facts and factors. with UCLA starting off 0-3 in 2019 after beginning 0-5 in 2018. It's the first time in 98 years UCLA has started two consecutive seasons with at least three losses. It happened in 1920 and 1921, the second and third year in school history.
Yeah, I mean, this is a team for the centuries. It's 150 years of college football. It's 100 years of UCLA football. And we've really, it's come full circle, at least we could say, right? We've completely torn it down. That's great. I mean, right down to the studs that we wanted, you know, I guess. So, I mean, this is going to be a weekly segment for us. But we talked about it a little bit last year or last week. Are we out on Kelly? And if we're not, like, when will we be out?
Well, to go back to what you were asking before, is this the lowest? Unfortunately, no, because it can always get worse. I mean, if they end up 0-12 or something
like
that.
Well, they're 19-point freaking dogs.
Right, exactly. I mean, there could be, you know, people talking about the, you know, so many fans not going. I mean, can you imagine it in November when it's, you know, maybe it's more cold and it's like a 7:30 game and they're at 0-whatever? You know, you talk about 60,000 people at the Rose Bowl. I doubt you'll get 30,000 people at the Rose Bowl at that point. The team can always go lower.
Oh, and not to bring that up, Jamal. I mean, how do you feel about the Rose Bowl being not at capacity? I mean, we were listening to our friend Brian Fenley on his show,
right?
And he was kind of going after Bruin fans a little bit about not showing up, and he wasn't saying it, you know, for Kelly as much as, you know, he was kind of giving us a do it for the kids argument, which I did find a little bit entertaining. But where are you at with Bruin fans not showing up?
At this point,
I mean, as an impartial observer,
at this point, you'd have to accept it. I don't understand how anybody could say. How can you blame the fans? I mean, I've seen a lot of people on social media, because you guys aren't the only, you know, through this podcast, I've somehow found myself a member of Bruin Nation.
Oh, yeah.
There are people just saying, you know, I've had season tickets, my family's had season tickets, and nothing's changed in the last few years. The program keeps going farther and farther down. Why should I go? And that's a perfectly reasonable question to ask. Why should anybody go?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not on site and on campus, so students, it's not like a student can walk up and just say, hey, I'm going to go. And it's like you got to travel in order to see your own team play. And when they're this mediocre, we just went over the statistics, they're pretty much as mediocre or worse.
Not mediocre. They are subpar.
Subpar.
They are worse than the nation level.
Right. Than they were last year. No, there is no reasonable expectation for people to go and try to support this team.
Yeah. And it's, you know, either way, to go to the Rose Bowl, you're going to have to spend money, whether you take an Uber, whether you pay for parking, going in there and buying food. It's just not attractive right now. It's, you know, like I said last week. my analogy about, you know, getting all dolled up for a night on the town just to go see a crappy band. You know, nobody wants to go out and spend half the night getting ready and looking pretty and getting all dolled up and excited for a bad product.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no reason, especially with how technology has increased, and you can see the game on your phone or your laptop or your tablet or on your TV at home. I mean, honestly, with, you know, as our caller said, you know, he saw the first drive and was like, I'm out. You know, it's like you can just get everything you need at home, you know, on whatever screen you have, and go, yeah, I've seen about 10 minutes of this, I'm done. You know, and the fans that are fans, you know, they're definitely diehard, but it's definitely, you know, declining. It's waning, and it's a bad product. You know, nobody wants to go out and spend money to see a bad product.
And part of that is because we're out here on the West Coast, and there's, you know, as we'll document, lots of things to do out here. And UCLA and USC have two of the biggest stadiums in the country, not just in the Pac-12. And so even on years when they're just mediocre, it's going to be tough to fill the building. Although UCLA and even USC have traditionally had lots of fans out and led the Pac-12 in attendance.
Yeah,
but when
we discussed this.
Yeah, we did.
They were both in the top five or maybe even top two a couple years ago when they were both doing well.
Even when they're not very good, they lead the Pac-12 in attendance. Like,
right.
That's the thing. They have to be exceptionally bad for that to fall off. But guess what? We're in a moment where UCLA is exceptionally fucking bad. 0-3 starts to back to back, a 3-9 season followed by 0-3 to start.
Yeah.
Look, I will never, ever, ever, you know, impugn a fan for not wanting to come show up for that. I bought the tickets. Therefore, I'm going to go to the games. That's just my viewpoint on it, right? Because otherwise, it's not like they have a lot of resale value, you know? So I can either light my ticket on fire or I can self-flagellate and go to the game and watch the torture, right? And listen to all the chirpers and the fans. And there is something to have, you know, I do still like to go to the Rose Bowl and watch a football game, even if the team I'm rooting for absolutely is dreadful, yeah. Right? So that's just me personally. But I'm never gonna say that a fan is wrong, especially if they haven't already bought the tickets. You know, season ticket holders, you do what you're going to do, right? But if you're not a season ticket holder, why would you ever, even if someone's going to give you a ticket and let you really like to watch football, where are you going to go to the game? So I totally am not mad at you, fans, for not showing up. Yeah. Now,
it's a rock and a hard place.
I mean, it really is. Now, as far as Kelly goes, right? This week, the hubbub, and Mike, you mentioned on the earlier show, you know, talking about, you know, Bolch and some of the other reporters going after him but it's asking the questions about the blur and what kind of offense is running. And he's, you know, his statement he gave, and this is some of the stuff.
Dude,
that David,
I would love to hear a question from David Woods in one of those media scrums.
Yeah. Well, he certainly waxed on about it, you know, on
he's
podcast channels.
No,
he's not wrong at all. No, he's very valid opinions. Absolutely. But this is the quote that he kind of went off on or the attitude. And he said, you know, and this is from Chip, I'm going to look back on our Oregon offense and study the tape and say, hey, we should do that here. Said Kelly, who has won 3 of his first 15 games at UCLA. I think we're always trying to figure out what our guys here do well and try to accentuate that. And again, it's consistency because we have done it well. It's a consistency thing. Hey, not a, hey, let's go find another offense. And look, the point is absolutely well taken that he was successful doing something else somewhere else, right? And now he's not doing that thing. And so, yeah, of course you're going to have people questioning that. The bottom line is, do you think that Chip Kelly should go back and run an offense that he doesn't want to run at UCLA? Do you think that's fair that somebody should come around and tell him or dictate to him what he should do? I mean, what do you think?
You know, we don't know what the hell is going on in Chip Kelly's head. There's something in the back of my mind that's telling me that he does want to run the Oregon offense. He just wants to evolve it. He just needs to find that perfect, how can I say, that coming together of talent and scheme and execution and experience. And right now, you know, over 30 guys have lost the roster, have exited the program, and so he has all these new guys. So is he just waiting for all these new guys to come in, develop, be that athlete that can execute these plays in which he can run this evolved system that is based on the Oregon blur? I mean, that's just, I'm not saying that's happening, but there's just something in the back of my mind. It's like, you know, David Woods has a point. Why would you abandon something that worked? For me, it's like, you know, for everything that Chip Kelly presents himself as, you know, a very...
Chip Kelly can kind of be a dick.
Yeah, that too. To be this, you know, overly confident, this guy that is, you know, a little standoffish with the media, you know, I still think that there's something he's, you know, he plays everything close to the chest, but I think that there's this master plan that he's not letting anybody aside from, you know, his inner circle of coaches maybe and the players, he's not letting anybody know. And that's just a hope. Again, it's a hope.
And a prayer.
Which sucks. But, I mean, that's just something that I think that a guy like Chip Kelly, a guy that's very proud and has that much success.
Chip Kelly?
Is just, I don't see quitting him, but I also just it is questionable why he's not doing what he did before.
Well, you know, I think, I don't know if it was us or if it was on one of the other podcasts that related to UCLA, but somebody mentioned, you know, maybe it's the roster. I mean, some of these guys he did inherit, such as his quarterback DTR.
And a lot of these guys he ran off.
Right, and a lot of the guys he ran off. So maybe it is just a matter of personnel in order to be able to run the best offense that he, in terms of the offense, run the best offense that his system is capable of producing. I mean, we're talking about somebody who's very cerebral, someone who's sees the offensive side of football in a very analytical way. So I think to suggest that he needs to just do it the way he did before, I think it's in his mind, it's probably the team isn't there yet. And that's the only thing I can think of is why he hasn't gone with the blur offense. And you know what? You know, if he's running a more simplistic offense and it's still not working, then maybe he's right. Maybe the talent just doesn't bear out in order to run what he used to run.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, now that these losses are piling up once again, and there is so much negativity just from, you know, like places like, the fans that are out there that are either posting on the bro board or whatever, and all of the negativity that Chip has seemingly brought on himself just with how he handles questions from the media and how he handles, the information coming out of the program, right? You definitely can see, and they were hubbubbing about this. I heard it on one of the shows today, I think PMS, but hubbubbing about, you know, does Kelly even want to be at UCLA any longer? And are they getting to the point where, you know, even if they're not going to fire him, would he like leave the program?
Yeah.
And that's a whole nother, can of worms, right?
Yeah, that's a narrative that's been going on the bro boards for, since after Cincinnati.
Well, and Dan from the Solid Verbal, he brought that up over the summer, and that got floated out there quite a long time ago. But bottom, as far as where I stand on, are we still with Kelly? Are we, or we want Kelly gone or whatever? I hope that they keep Kelly as long as he wants to be here. Mm. Of course, that gives him an out, if he wants to leave or whatever. And I don't want to see him change anything that he doesn't want to change. I want to see him either absolutely run this program into the fucking ground doing what he wants to do or succeed because of what he wants to do.
Yeah.
As opposed to starting to flip and flop and change and whatever. One of the things that's one of the things that that sent Mora off the complete rails is this constant flipping and flipping and flipping and flipping from one thing to the next. God. The Kenny Palomalu and then the defensive coordinators and all that stuff. That's what when you see coaches really lose it, or Rick Neuheisel going from the one office to the next and eventually landing on the pistol, right? That's what, to me, a coach gets way over their skis and starts making changes just for the sake of change, just because of the clamoring of the public or whatever it is. And don't get me wrong, I very easily could see the Bruins going 0-12 this year and complete utter doomsday, and I can see it not working out now. You asked me 2 months ago, and I'm like, I don't see a scenario where Chip doesn't succeed. Now, I clearly see it.
Yeah.
In fact, I think it's probably more likely than not that this does not ever pan out. But I don't want to give him any fucking excuses. I don't want to give him any saying, do what you're going to do. If he is the genius that he is, he's going to find a way to turn it around. And if he isn't, once UCLA gets rid of him or once he leaves UCLA, then they'll have to, start over and figure it out. But, it's not like they've really been better off for the last 20 years anyway. But I want him to stick with whatever he thinks is going to work, and either it works or it doesn't. Mm. But you don't have any excuses there. And at least whatever his vision is, we're going to know. And what I would really hope is when he leaves UCLA, he's either completely washed up, meaning I hope if he torches UCLA as it feels like he kind of is right now, I hope he's unemployable afterwards, meaning that he had that horrible season in San Francisco and he comes to this season in UCLA. Why would anybody employ him? Either that or he proves the faith that a lot of people have or had in him, and he turns it around and he finds his vision.
Yeah.
A la Washington State and Mike Leach and 3 wins and 6 wins and 3 wins and all that stuff. Because that's absolutely possible too.
Yeah.
Right now, it doesn't feel like it. Everybody's really down on it. But I mean, he showed that he was a good coach at some point.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that was all because of all the infrastructure organ or whatever. But whatever it is, I hope he sticks to what he's doing, because either way, it's going to prove a point. He's going to prove that he's good, or he's going to prove that he sucks, but either way, we'll know. I don't want him to start.
For me, it's like, everyone talks about trust the process. I want to trust the process. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, if he's building something, I kind of want him to succeed, and he's obviously not going to do this, but in kind of like a fashion where it's like, aha, I told you so, you just got to wait. And it shows that he can be successful, like Mike Leach, like David Shaw. It's just really hard to grasp right now. And all we can, and it just sucks. All we can do is hope right now.
He's an extremely polarizing.
Bruin fans are stuck right now.
Yeah. Well, he's an extremely polarizing character, and either people think he's a fraud or people think he's a genius.
Yeah.
People that I kind of have a lot of respect for their opinions of things. A lot of them still think that he is a genius and that at some point it'll bear fruit. But other, you know, but like I said, at this point it doesn't look like it. But I want to give him every opportunity to succeed. Mm-hmm. And if he doesn't, then we'll move on and whatever.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's kind of where we're at this
Promote
point.
Jerry.
There you go.
Hell's yeah.
It's good seeing him on the side with all that hair.
His hair is gorgeous.
Yeah.
So goddamn gorgeous.
It really is. All right.
Well,
let's get on with it. What's brewing with you guys?
What's brewing with you?
You ask me.
What's brewing with me?
Yeah.
What's brewing with you? What's brewing with me? What's brewing with
you?
Jamalski, you Cal communist, what's brewing with you?
Guys, I've had to do these dental sessions, basically.
Nice.
I hate the dentist. I mean, I don't understand how this organization can still get away with using medieval tools and and call it, you know, medicine.
Modern medicine.
Modern medicine. So it's...
Oh my God.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, stop. God.
Tomorrow will be my fourth session and my final session. This is just a deep gum cleaning, obviously. By my tone, you can tell that I hate going to the dentist, and I neglected it for so long that I'm in this spot where they've basically had to sandblast my gums and around my teeth to get rid of years of plaque and stuff. Thankfully, no cavities, no damage to the teeth, but the gums were starting to go a bit. So,
bless you, Jamal.
You know, if you want to see a nearly 40-year-old man cry in a chair, then come with me tomorrow to my dentist appointment.
Dude, live tweet that. Periscope it.
It's kind of hard because they put you in really very scary positions. But I think most of it is just the noise. The noise really. They let you put in my AirPods and listen. I try to listen to podcasts. I try to listen to music. None of it works. I can't get the sound. The sound. The scraping is just so visceral that I can't get it out of my head. So
one of my favorite TV dentist moments, the Seinfeld episode where Jerry's at the dentist, and there's a bunch there's a bunch of great ones.
That's,
like
that's a great episode.
The one where they got Hustler in the waiting area, but the best one was Tim Watley, I think, is the dentist. It's actually Hal or Breaking Bad.
It's a Bryan Cranston.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
He's he's in the dental chair and they're like putting him to sleep and it's just intimated that they're having her way with him while he's under.
Right.
And the dentist is like the dentist and the dental assistants are like swapping partners. And right. It's just wild, wacky stuff.
It's funny.
That I don't know if they could really, play now on TV, but it's fantastic. Good stuff.
It is.
Mikey, what's wrong with you?
Well, I'm going to a Harry Potter.
Sweet.
Birthday this weekend.
Oh, birthday, nice.
And I have no idea what to expect. I read the first book, I saw two movies, and I'm just like,
You're not going to be required to role play or anything, are you?
Yes.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Is this an adult party or a kid party?
No, it's kid party. That would be interesting if it was an adult party. But yeah. My nephew, Jareth, he's turning 11 next week. He's my boy. He's the only one in the family that has a birthday close to me, so we have that bond. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's like heavily into Harry Potter, and I just don't know/care about Harry Potter.
That's all right.
I know it's a guy with a scar, and he does magic wizardry, and he...
I mean, it's the same movie over and over and over
pretty
again.
Pretty much,
but it's
exactly.
A good movie,
exactly.
So you should go watch him.
No, I did. Actually, I watched one of them with you here, the last one. I got that. The bookends. I saw the first and the last. I stand corrected. But the kids are excited because they get to dress up in wizardry costumes. So I was talking to the kids today about what we should do, and they're like... Oh my God, I should get my cape. Oh, I should get a witch's hat. Oh, I should get a wand. I should do this. And I'm just looking at them. I just can see their mind going just a mile a minute. And I'm just like, wow, you are so far ahead of me. And they haven't even seen any of the Harry Potters.
I don't know if it's still open, but there was a sweet Harry Potter store down by Miracle Mile. I want to say it was called Diagon Alley. I think it's closed now.
Really?
But there are some pretty sweet Harry Potter stuff.
If you
stuff
find
in there.
That, text it to me because I have 3 days to prepare. So.
Nerd.
Oh, shut up.
No, they're nerds. I'm admitting I have no idea what's happening here.
You better watch it. This nerd's going to put you in a headlock.
My sister's the nerd because she sent me an actual letter that was kind of like it looked aged with a card that says you've been admitted to the Hogwarts Academy. And
that's
my
cute.
my kids were like, oh my god, what is that? What's Hogwarts? I'm like, oh god, I have to explain this crap to you. Don't
that's
I?
Pretty
can,
hilarious.
Can't you just do a Star Wars theme or Spider-Man? My kids know that. They love that. Jake, what's brewing with you?
Thanks, guys. You know, today I had a pretty fun opportunity present itself. One of my favorite podcasts I listen to when I'm not listening to all the Bruin podcasts is called Partially Examined Life. It's a very in-depth philosophy podcast, and they had an offshoot of it called Pretty Much Pop, which is the same one of the guys doing a show about pop culture type stuff.
Really?
And they've had like different guests, like Lucy Lawless was on there, a couple other people were on there. But anywho, they record all that stuff. Generally, they're kind of East Coast centric. You know, the one guy's in Wisconsin, and then the on this pop show, the other people are like in Wisconsin or New York or whatever. A couple episodes ago, they were asking if they booked guests, because they're talking about pop culture and having actors and actresses on, would they, if they have any listeners in LA that could help them out with like recording and things, you know, to let them know. Well, guess what? I'm a listener in LA, mm-hmm. and I happen to have my own podcast and all the equipment. So I reached out to them and I was like, hey, you know, I could probably do that. And I had a conversation with one of the guys today, Mark Linsenmeyer, who's awesome. Like I said, he's one of my
sweet
podcasting
Jake, nice.
Heroes. So I may be remotely doing some production work for them,
sweet.
Which is pretty cool.
Hell yeah!
Wow, that is pretty cool.
It's pretty neat. So I'm excited about that, because that is a show that's
well,
very near and dear
up,
to my heart. Well,
moving on up.
Yeah, not yeah, of course.
Oh,
all for
networking.
All for,
okay.
all for geeking.
Well,
out
you're networking.
Thanks, Mikey. Yeah, so it's good stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. If something like that pans out, that'll be a lot of fun. So
yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know what's brewing with Bill. He's a dick. I expect we'll hear from him, because he has big things to talk about with UCLA next time we see him. If you listen to the lead show. But we'll be back. I don't know. We'll try to do another post-game reaction, whether it's Mikey or whether it's me, or whether it's me and Mikey, or whether it's me and Mikey and Jamal. It's certainly not going to be Bill. Or maybe we'll just make Jamal do it. I mean, that'd be nice. Jamal, you want to do a post-game Bruin talk from the Cal perspective?
Unfortunately, I'll be covering again.
F you,
night.
Jamal. Anywho, we'll try to get something out there for you guys.
Sorry.
And then we'll be back next week with another full-on show. We do have a special guest booked.
Yes.
That special guest is one of the original great friends of the show. Hasn't been on in a while. And that'll be one Reggie freaking Carter, UCLA linebacker.
That's happening. That's happening
who,
next week.
Before the season started, told me, oh, man, they're going to suck this year. Because he is not on board the chip train, and I cannot wait to talk to him about why
really?
He That's was not on board a, when we all were.
That's going to be a great conversation.
That's going to be some good stuff. So listen next week. Listen to our good friend, Reggie, the last king of L.A., Carter, and a lot of other stuff as we react to Washington State's probable beatdown of the Bruins.
Yeah.
So until next time, and once again, thank you to everybody, and go Bruins, I guess.
Go Bruins.
Good evening.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Size doesn't necessarily matter if you want it hard enough.
Thank you for your cooperation.
The final word is boob.